Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Monday's Connecting Faith. Good to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. Hope you've had a great weekend. Ted Ross at the controls. Carissa's at the phone. So, Ted, you first weekend without football. You adjusted okay?
Made it through. Okay. Yeah. Actually got some of the things done for a change. Sure. My wife was so appreciative of.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Huh? Yeah, there you go.
I wonder if the sports guys, if they know that, they say, you know, we got to get it done before Valentine's. Otherwise, it's just too painful for the rest of us. Well, you've kind of moved to volleyball now, right?
Yeah, that's it. My oldest daughter in tournaments now on weekends, so. That's occupying our time well.
Yeah. We're going to talk about apologies today. So I thought, you know, Valentine's coming up. I could just practice now. Maybe just get the apology out right away. So.
Good time to kind of clear the air.
I was trying to think of that. Remember an old limerick? What? Skip the flowers, nuts, and candy. Buy no blouse of palest pink. If you really love me, just fix the faucet that's leaking in the sink. Or something like that. I don't remember how that goes. But that would be.
Yeah. Show me. Yeah.
Sure. That was, yeah. We're going to talk about the language of apology today. And in fact, the book has been updated. It's a great book from Dr. Gary Chapman and Dr. Jennifer Thomas. They've co-written this. The book's called When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. And we're going to find out that this is a pretty key area in understanding our mates and those that we love and care about, and that apologies aren't the same for everyone. But I thought maybe we could start out, before we introduce Dr. Thomas, we could start out with, an example of an extended apology. I don't know if you've heard this before. John Cleese, of course, funny actor, and this is, we were just trying to remember the setting, but this is a pretty solid apology, I think.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
There you go. John Cleese's version of apology. Let's find out if that's a good one. And welcome our guest to the broadcast today. Dr. Jennifer Thomas is a graduate of the University of Virginia and psychologist with Associates in Christian Counseling in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. Jennifer counsels on a wide variety of individuals and couples issues for communication and from trauma recovery and spiritual healing. And she's a member of American Association of Christian Counselors. Co-authored the book, The Five Languages of Apology, which has been updated now. We're going to talk about that. And you can visit her website at drjenthomas.com. Jennifer, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, Neil, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on today.
We're going to talk about this wonderful book, When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. And it came out of some great research we're going to get into in a moment as well. But so just to start out, did John Cleese, was that an acceptable apology?
You know, it was a great clip. I really enjoyed listening to that again. And what he did is he focused on our first two languages of apology, but there are three more, which are less common things that people want to hear. And so I look forward to unpacking that with you.
Well, let's start with maybe the definition. So how do you define the word apology?
Okay. So what an apology does is it takes these barriers that get created between us and other people whenever we mess up. And we know that if you live and breathe, you're going to make mistakes, put your foot in your mouth. Sometimes we realize when we've done it. Sometimes we don't. But the problem is that those barriers can stay between us and others at home or in the workplace. And the apology literally takes those barriers and tears them down so that it opens the doorway to forgiveness.
You address in the book several R words, and I thought maybe we would just kind of go through those as a way to introduce the topic. But maybe before that, we should say this was something actually you did a fair amount of research on this topic, right?
Right. I was interested in what is it that different people are looking for in an apology. And what I realized in my own marriage was that we were missing each other. And sometimes, even though one of us might apologize, there was still some sense of being in the doghouse with each other. And nobody likes that feeling. And so I was trying to figure out what was going on. And what I realized is that I was saying, I'm sorry. And my husband was waiting to hear me say. And before I tell you what he wanted to hear, I want you and your listeners to fill in the blank and to figure out, okay, well, what might someone want to hear besides I'm sorry? And the answer, it depends on who you are. We found four other things that people are looking for. In my husband's case, he wanted to hear me say I was wrong, and he wanted for me to accept responsibility.
Well, I guess I was going to ask him, if you use the words I'm sorry, that doesn't necessarily qualify as an apology for some, right?
Right. And what we've been doing, I think, is go through life, and we use the apology words that worked with our parents or with our teachers. And the challenge is that we don't realize that the people who are receiving our apologies might have different languages of apology, that's what we call them, or words that they want to hear. And if we don't give them that phrase, they might feel like we're holding out on them or that we were just getting warmed up, and why did we stop before we gave the actual apology? And so Gary Chapman and I have surveyed people. We developed an apology language profile, and we found that their preferred apology languages did fall into five different categories. And we thought that was great because we know Gary Chapman loves the number five, although we weren't actually looking for that number. And what we found was about 40% of people are like me. For them, the words I'm sorry are critical. And then for 35% of the people, they're more like my husband. So they want you to accept responsibility and not make any excuses and not try to shift that blame around.
In fact, you talk about accepting responsibility. That's one of the R words that you talk about, and I'll let you kind of define those because you address expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution, and genuinely repenting. Some important R words there. Maybe let's just go through them one at a time and kind of build the case for when sorry isn't enough.
Okay. So the first one, when you're expressing regret, you're talking to the heart here. You're saying, I understand that I've upset you, I've hurt your feelings. So you're talking about emotions and how you regret that you've trampled on someone's feelings. And so this is what came naturally for me, and I'm interested in studying, okay, well, is that true of other women? What are the gender differences here? But we know for many people, if you don't unpack specifically how you made them feel or how it inconvenienced them, then they may feel like you're not sincere.
Well let me, before we get on further into that, you mentioned gender differences. Is the apology process, the theory, the actions, is it significantly different from male and female?
I think it is. We don't have that data in yet, but we're working on getting it. And, you know, it'd be an interesting water cooler conversation that we could have or your listeners could have. How do you see men and women apologizing differently? And I think one of the issues is that some people are over-apologizers. They act like a doormat and they apologize just for living. And that can be men or women, although I think we see it stereotypically as a problem that a lot of women have, and that we give some advice for whether you're male or female for overcoming that problem.
We'll get into that a little bit more. So we're talking about expressing regret, and I don't know if you want to say more on that before we talk about accepting responsibility, but we'll go through those R words for a bit.
Okay. So, yeah, the last thing on expressing regret is you let the person know, I understand that I've caused you hurt, and the fact that I've caused you hurt actually hurts me as well. And you can talk about your disappointment in yourself and how you've let the other person down. And here you want to go big, because the more that you can say how upset you are with yourself or how dismayed you are at what you've done, then that frees the other person up to not have to hit you over the head, but they feel like, okay, I think they get it, and I think they're not going to do it again because they feel so bad. And then moving on to accepting responsibility, here we're shifting to the head. You're going to talk from the perspective of the left brain. Well, okay, I know that this is what I did wrong, and this is why it was wrong. And so if you were in the courtroom, at this point you are now pleading guilty. And they are going to be watching, bracing themselves even, for you to make the most common mistakes. And I call these the BED principle. That's B-E-D. You do not want to blame, excuse, or deny. Because when you do that, we know if you use the word but, for example, then you're getting ready to give an excuse. And that erases everything that you just said. And so when you're giving an apology, if you do need to offer some explanation, I actually advise people to wait and do that a little bit later, at least 10 minutes later, maybe even the following day. Because while it's true, sometimes knowing the extenuating circumstances can help them understand, you just don't want to run the risk of it sounding like an excuse.
There is a tendency, I think, that we give sort of fake apologies, don't we? Say, I'm sorry that you were offended by what I said, right? I mean, we push it all on somebody else, right?
Yes, there are some. I mean, they're so bad they're funny. Like, to the extent that you were offended, I apologize. the word if and but, those are both big red flags there. This apology is not going to go over well. It's important to stand on what you did wrong and also to be willing to offer that, even though there may be blame on more than one side. When you're apologizing is not the time to bring that up.
We're getting some very practical, good insight today from Dr. Jennifer Thomas, who is a co-author, along with Dr. Gary Chapman, of a great resource called When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. It's we've got some copies available, actually, too, and we'd love to give you one. If you want to sign up for that, we do a drawing at the end of the show for those copies, When Sorry Isn't Enough. It's the kind of resource that, you know, maybe it's just the early on in the new year still, you want to review that in your own relationships and find some practical ways in which you could better connect with those that you love in this area of apologies. And we've discovered, as Dr. Thomas and Dr. Chapman have discovered, there's five languages of apology, and we're going to work through a few more of those. By the way, if you have a question, maybe a circumstance or situation, something that is maybe nagging you about apologies or forgiveness, or what if you don't want to apologize, you don't want to forgive, you'd like to join the conversation, you are welcome. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or you can connect with us online at myfaithradio.com. Just go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there. And Valentine's Day coming up this weekend, is a good time to be thinking about how we're building our relationship and making some of those communication frameworks work for us, so that, you know, when we do come up short, which we all will at some time, even in the best of relationships, we all make mistakes. So how do we overcome it? We'll talk more with Dr. Jennifer Thomas in a moment. Love to have you join the conversation again. 877-93-FAITH as we talk apologies. Classic, isn't it, for our conversation today? How appropriate. When sorry isn't enough. All right, there's more to it. We're discovering When Sorry Isn't Enough. Subtitle is Making Things Right with Those You Love. Dr. Jennifer Thomas with us today, co-author of the book with Dr. Gary Chapman. That's an updated version of the five languages of apology, and there's been more research that's gone into it. And we've been talking, as Jennifer said, she's one of those that appreciates hearing the words, I'm sorry. But there's another segment that wants to hear, I was wrong. That's accepting responsibility. There's another R and another statement that we should talk about. Jennifer, what's that one?
That's right. Some people really want for you to make restitution. That is asking them, how can I make this right? And we know from the tradition of AA that making amends is important. This is all part of putting your money where your mouth is. And for some people, if this is their language of apology, you can say, I'm sorry, you can say I was wrong. And what they're going to be thinking is, you know what, talk is cheap. If she's really sorry, she's going to fix this or somehow give time or money to make up for what she has cost me here.
Making restitution, I mean, that's one of those where, you know, our society maybe has kind of let things slip sometimes, or we end up maybe letting things slip when there are some ways that this could be done. And maybe this is a good time to talk about, I mean, as you talk about the five languages of apology, that they do match up pretty well with the five love languages too, don't they?
Yes. You're right, Neil, because if I'm going to make it up to you, suppose I've made a big mistake and I really want to show you how sorry I am, well, then I might reach for my love language and give you that. So I love gifts. I might buy some flowers and send them over to you. And would that work for you, Neil, if I did that?
You know, not so much, really. I mean, I'm sure I'd appreciate them, but no, I don't know that I would need flowers. Candy?
Right,
candy, we could talk. You know.
Candy, chocolate. Yeah. That might not be your love language. Do you know what your love language is already?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, quality time and words of affirmation, those kinds of things, probably.
Okay, so that's great. So if we know it's quality time and words of affirmation, then when I'm apologizing to you to show you really how sincere I am, it would be good for me to set aside some time for you. And so I could offer to come over to your house or to your office and, you know, sit down and catch up and hear how you've been doing and just really smooth things over, make sure we're on the right page. And then you can go on down through all the love languages, but picking up, say, words of affirmation, it'd be important for me to get you a card and either bring it along or send it and make sure that if there's still things about the mistake I made, to include that, but to definitely end with some things about what I appreciate in you and how I'm committed to making things right between the two of us.
Talking today about the apology and some of the languages of apology. And when the sorry isn't enough, we talked about expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution. There's another R word that you address. Let's talk about that and maybe the phrase that goes along with that.
Okay. So we want to show that we are genuinely repenting. And the phrase that we use is, I want to change. And here we can't promise that we'll never do it again, although, you know, it would be great if we could. But to let the person know, okay, I'm really going to try to change my ways so that this won't keep happening. And it's best if you have a specific plan or things that you're going to do differently to head off this mistake. Especially, people are going to be looking for their magic words or language of apology if there are two things about what you've done. One is if it's serious, and two is if it's a repeated problem. And so if those two things are true, they're really not going to let you off the hook unless you speak their language of apology in most cases. And so this is my secondary language of apology. I always am thinking in my head, this is so annoying because you keep doing this. And I don't want to hear that you're sorry. I want to hear how you're going to do this right next time. And as with the love languages, all five of these can be great. We like them all. But for me, it's really important that you not leave that out. And that may be true for many of your listeners.
And that would need to be done. It's not like, as you said in our last one, maybe the, you know, the but, or, you know, or kind of explaining the extenuating circumstances. But this one, I mean, you actually want to have you want to hear the plan right away, don't you?
Right. So, for instance, if people are in the workplace, something that happened to me in a prior job, of course not where I currently am, I would have clients scheduled, and occasionally one wouldn't show up, and I would ask the receptionist, oh, do you know where Sarah is or whatever? And the receptionist might hit herself on the head like she could have had a V8, and she would say, oh, you know what? Sarah called last Friday and canceled, and I forgot to scratch her out in your book. And there, it was so frustrating when it happened because that's wasted time and income for me. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And so I didn't get too upset the first or second time it happened, but the third time it happened, I said, you know what, we need to find a way that you're going to stop what you're doing and get this marked down when clients call and cancel. And, you know, it can be awkward because I'm not the business manager in the practice, but the fact was that we needed a new plan and the receptionist had to make some changes, which she did, fortunately.
So is it up to you, the offended party, to lay out the plan for genuine repentance and making things right? As the one who offended, do we need to own that and come up with our own ideas, or is it something where we ask, say, I don't know what to do about this?
Right. Well, this is where the last one, the restitution, and then this one, the repenting, are similar because it's great if the person offers something. And so for the restitution, what they're going to offer is something that would make us whole now. So I'm as good in the present as I was in the past. And then for this one of the genuinely repenting, we're turning to the future. And if they want to offer something they can do going forward so we won't keep getting in this hole, then I would welcome that. But it should be, in both cases, it should be a dialogue where they might offer something and ask how that sounds. And then if I'm the one who's been hurt, I can say, well, it's a good start, but keep thinking. Or, yeah, that would show me that you're really sincere about this.
In fact, at the end of each chapter, or I think most of the chapters, you provide some statements, whether it's accepting responsibility or genuine repentance. Maybe just those things, they may feel a little foreign to us, but they will actually sort of help us keep the dialogue going, won't they?
That's right. We try to give really practical tips of things you can say to show how sincere you are, because I believe that people really are sincere. They do want to have forgiveness in their relationships, but I get a lot of comments from people who say, you know what, I've tried everything, and this person just won't forgive me. And so the passion that Gary Chapman and I have is to help people who feel like they've done everything with one more approach, and really what that is for us is getting out of your own shoes and going and putting yourself in the shoes of the other person and to say, well, what is it that would really carry the most weight for you? And I've also included a quiz that can be fun for people to take. It's called How Good Is Your Sorry? It's available on my website, which is drjenniferthomas.com. And there I have good and bad apology statements. And people should ignore the bad ones, but maybe jot down a few of the good ones to take and practice in their own lives.
And literally, I mean, practice them is going to make a difference, isn't it?
That's right, because you can learn new ways of apologizing. Some people grew up with parents who maybe apologies weren't modeled for them, or they got the message somehow that to apologize was weak. And so it's important for them because they may realize now, okay, my relationships could be better, and maybe I don't need to have so much pride and bravado. So how do I humble myself and apologize? And so we go through the steps for how to do that. And then they can see the benefits of that far from it lowering them in the eyes of others, it actually can give them greater respect.
We'll learn more about going beyond sorry, when sorry isn't enough, making things right with those you love. It's a great book written by our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Thomas, along with Dr. Gary Chapman. They co-authored that. Got some copies to give away. You can sign up for that with a phone call and join the conversation as well. Maybe there's a apology that you need some help in, or one you're waiting for. Join us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Jennifer Thomas is a best-selling author, speaker, psychologist, and joining us today on Connecting Faith, Talking Apologies. Love to have you join the conversation. We'll get to your questions coming up, 877-933-2484. Is sorry enough? When sorry isn't enough is the title of a book from Dr. Jennifer Thomas and Dr. Gary Chapman. They co-authored it. The subtitle is Making Things Right with Those You Love. Dr. Thomas, Jennifer Thomas, with us today. She's an author, speaker, psychologist with a doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Maryland and a BA in psychology and religion from the University of Virginia. And her husband and family live in North Carolina with three cute, noisy children, she says, which there's probably been a few apologies back and forth in their household, like I'm sure in yours and mine as well. And we're talking right. about it today as we head into Valentine's. You did some – one of the things that you mentioned in the book that there's maybe, what, 75% difference in apology language, just like we have our own love language that to me, that just seems like it's a conflict built into a relationship if there's 75% difference. So is this something where we should, you know, all the online matchmaking, you know, sites we should be, you know, looking for similarities in how we expect an apology?
Right. Well, that's a great idea. We could start a dating service where we match people up by their apology language. could be a new product line extension for us. But basically, what happens is we marry people or we date people, and we don't realize that we have completely different ways of apologizing. But we wonder, well, why aren't my apologies really working? Or flip it around the other way. Your partner may apologize to you, and you're left thinking, and give me a little bit more here. And so we, Gary Chapman and I, have surveyed people about what they wanted in an apology, and we found that their answers did fall into these five categories. And the first two, that's saying I'm wrong and accepting responsibility, got 75% of the first place votes, and the remainder, it was divided between the making restitution, genuinely repenting or changing your ways, and the smallest one, which only got 3% of the first place votes, was actually the request for forgiveness. So asking, will you please forgive me, is very important to a very few people. And if you're in a relationship or you work with one of these people, it's important for you to know that so that they will really understand how sincere you are.
So is forgiveness required for an apology to be complete?
Forgiveness required?
Yeah, so if I apologize to Ted until he says, you know, I forgive you, is it incomplete? Is it left hanging out there?
Right. You know, I think it is helpful to make that request for forgiveness because then it lets you know if there's still a barrier between you in the eyes of the other person or not, even if you're ready to move on either way. So it gives you an update. And, you know, I really have come to see the value in that of finding out, okay, well, where do we stand now? And another thing that came out of our research is we said, well, wait a minute, if people are looking for all different types of apologies, and I'm giving a public apology or a group apology, then it's really critical for me to use all five of these. And so when I go and consult with companies, I'm teaching their employees how to apologize in all five languages. And so by definition, then, your apology would end with, do you or can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
What if we don't want to apologize, or what if we don't want to forgive?
Those are some toughies. And here, I don't like to push people into apologizing if they don't feel that they need to apologize, you see, because apologies need to be sincere. And so if you're going to give an apology as a way to, say, elicit an apology from the other person, but you really didn't feel you needed to, then I wouldn't. I would have a different kind of a conversation about what feelings are being hurt or needs aren't being met and how you can both do better. But I don't think I would call it an apology unless it's really an apology.
But we do that to our kids, though, don't we? You know, tell Johnny you're sorry, you know, right? Or I mean,
right.
So maybe some words about how do we maybe model this more effectively for our kids? Are there some things that we shouldn't maybe train them to do?
Yeah, Neil, that's a great question. And we do have some materials out on how to teach kids to apologize. And lesson number one should come from the parents and from our willingness as parents to apologize to each other and to apologize to our kids when we mess up. And then I have built some things into our own process with my kids I can tell you about. I have them go in timeout when they mess up, and one of my really strong-willed kids, I have to go into timeout with him and sit there and hold him sometimes because he just doesn't want to stay. I mean, sometimes my kids would make Dr. James Dobson cry. They're real challenges. And yet, I don't want timeout to just be time served. We end it with a conversation about what did you do wrong and what was wrong about it. And then if they did break something or make a mess, then part of getting out of timeout is going to be going to get a broom and cleaning that up, which fits in with our third language of apology or making amends. Mm.
You know, it does seem like everyone is pretty easily offended these days. So shouldn't we just toughen up a little bit? I was thinking about that verse, Proverbs 19:11. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So what does that really mean, maybe in terms of apologies?
Right. Yeah, I mean, people, you can get in trouble for a lot of things these days. There's political correctness and not stepping on people's toes. At the same time, as believers, we are called to, insofar as it's up to us, to live peaceably with everyone. We learn that in Romans. And so it's important when we realize we've offended somebody to go as quickly as we can and to try to set things right with them.
Which leads into a question that Tom called in from Anoka and left this question for us. He says, when there's too much time between apologies, is that breaking down the relationship and making it less stable?
Mm-hmm. You know, it could be. I like Tom's question because it gets at the point of urgency. If you're really sincere in this apology, wouldn't you rush over here to give it to me? You wouldn't go off and play and do all your regular things. You should hurry to the person and set it right. And I would add here, I would do it in person if you can. If you're in the same city with the person and if they're willing to see you, I would go to them directly. If there's a distance, then I prefer phone call or Skype over texting or emails for an apology.
A texted apology, probably not quite as solid, right?
That's right. It looks like you didn't want to, that they weren't important enough for you to pick up the phone and call them or go to see them. Now, with that being said, I do like the idea of a written record of your apology. So as a counselor, when I work with people who've had serious problems, like, for example, if one of them had an affair, then I will have them apologize to the other one in person, but also I'll have them write it out. And I say take 5 pieces of paper. At the top, put each of our 5 languages of apology and list as many points as you can under there, and then share that apology with the person who's been hurt and allow them to help add to your list and to say, well, you know, this was another time that I was really hurt. Can you add that to your apology? And the whole process has really been exciting to watch because couples are truly rebuilding trust.
Well, it does, I guess, bring up that issue. You sort of alluded to it. There are some people that just over-apologize. I mean, we probably don't like being around people like that all the time, right?
That's right. We come to not value their apologies because they're a dime a dozen. And so you do want to make sure that you're not just apologizing for a living. You want for people to know that you really understand that this one's on you. You're not going to try to slip away from responsibility on it, and that whatever words you think they're going to need to hear in order to really know that you mean what you say, that you understand that you've hurt them, and that you're going to change your ways.
If you have a question today, you're welcome to join us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484, talking about apologies and making things right with those you love. And it's a timely topic anytime, but certainly one that we need to evaluate and reflect on, and there's some great advice in the book from Dr. Jennifer Thomas and Dr. Gary Chapman, the co-author of this book called When Sorry Isn't Enough. We've got some copies to give away, and we'll do the drawing here at the end of the hour. 877-93-FAITH. Tessa called in with this question. She said, it seems that there isn't a definite line between excuses and reasons. People tend to accuse others of making up excuses while they're giving genuine reasons for their regretful actions. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, she has a great point. I think the difference between the two really has to do with where you stand, right? If you're giving me a bunch of reasons that I don't agree with or I think are trying to deny your responsibility, then I'm going to call them excuses. But if I'm the one offering them, then of course, Neil, they are reasons. So I can see her point, and it gets old to hear that. And so the best approach I've found is to set aside your explanations, to save that for later, to go ahead and let your apology stand on its own. And if that simply can't be done, it may be that you don't feel that you need to apologize. And so in that case, I would fall back to, hey, something's just not working right. Let's talk about it.
And again, I think probably just asking the question as opposed to telling, right? We probably assume that, well, I need to apologize. I'll just go say these, seven or eight words, and rather than maybe just asking the question to invite the opportunity to respond properly.
Yes, and ideally we would ask people around us during a time when there's not a problem, hey, what do you really consider to be a sincere apology? Or another question you can ask is, when you hear really terrible apologies, what are they doing wrong or what have they left out? And their answer will usually reveal to you their primary language of apology.
Which could be a good exercise any time, right? But maybe just over coffee, a date night or something, just to actually make the topic apologies.
That's right. And we've included free profiles. If people are more the pencil and paper type, you can go to my website, drjenniferthomas.com. Under the free resources, you can look there and take the apology language quiz. And I also have the love language quiz there in its entirety. You can take those, print it out, and also have those who are closest to you take the quizzes. And then, as you said, Neil, over coffee, you can talk over what you found and maybe look back and say, okay, well, yeah, I remember when we had this problem. Maybe actually what was going on is reflected here in these quizzes.
Dr. Gary Thomas, Dr. Gary Chapman and Dr. Jennifer Thomas teamed up to deliver a groundbreaking study on how we give and receive apologies. And they've put this research in a great little book called When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. And Jennifer Thomas is our guest today, who is an author and a speaker and psychologist, and joining us on Connecting Faith. And we're taking your calls and questions at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Get some copies of the book to give away as well, and be a timely resource for you to have. And you're welcome to give us calls. We talk more about the language of apology, and we're going to get into another cultural trend that seems to be common today as well. We'll get Jennifer Thomas's reflection on that and more coming up. 877-93-FAITH. Talking about the art of apology and learning how to give and receive apologies today with Jennifer Thomas. Dr. Thomas has co-authored this great resource with Dr. Gary Chapman, and it parallels well Dr. Chapman's five love languages. And it turns out there are five languages of apology. In fact, that was the original title of the book, and they've updated it with new information. It's called When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. And Dr. Thomas helps people through some of their challenges in communication in a variety of ways, and as a counselor, speaker, psychologist, and joining us today on Connecting Faith. You know, there's another part of our culture that seems way too common. That's kind of this pattern of cover-up. I mean, that we somehow think, well, it's better off not to tell because then we'd really have to be vulnerable or get in trouble. Let's talk about that sort of side of the non-apology or not doing one for fear of reprisals.
Right. This certainly certainly is common. And what I've noticed is that people who cover up their mistakes may have come from homes where there wasn't a lot of forgiveness. So if I was a child and I knew if I broke something, my mom was going to go ballistic because of her own, I don't know, some moms, they might have sort of a compulsion to, you know, you need to be careful, don't break that, don't get mud on your clothes. Well, is that kid going to admit to his mom when he broke something, or is he going to carefully hide the pieces in the trash can? So, you know, what I've found is if we are forgiving and are willing to let people make mistakes, to be human, and to help them clean up the pieces and move on, then they're more apt to apologize to us again the next time. And what I encourage people to do is when you hear an apology, don't use it as an opportunity to pile on and to say, yes, and I really couldn't believe you did it, and another thing. But at least if this is a new attempt for them at apologizing, I would reward them for that and say, thank you. I really appreciate what you said. And then see where the conversation goes from there.
And because even just as there are five languages of an apology, there's probably a language, I mean, we maybe need to hear the response in a language we most understand as well, right?
That's right. We want to respond in a way that lets them know, okay, I understand that you're really sincere. You really mean this. You didn't mean to hurt me, or you didn't mean to break this, but there has been some damage done, and let's work together on getting back to a better place with each other.
Does, I guess maybe we may have touched on it, but just maybe review that again. Does it always have to be on the timetable of the other? I mean, the one who's coming to offer an apology, you might say, well, I'm not really ready to forgive or accept that yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The one who is most at fault should quickly come and apologize, and that's going to show that they are sincere. But if you're the one receiving the apology and you're not ready to forgive the other person, then we explain in our book that that the person who's apologizing really needs to give you that space, that they can't demand your forgiveness on the spot because that doesn't show sincerity of how you understand that you've really hurt them in this way. So part of showing that you really mean it is saying something like, I would really love it if you could find it in your heart to forgive me sometime, and please let me know what I can be doing in the meantime to rebuild your trust.
And trust is such a key issue, and that sort of leads into Jenny and St. Paul asked this question, said, what if someone keeps repeating behavior that they're aware of and keeps apologizing for it, but it's a never-ending cycle? Talk about that.
Right. Well, Jenny, I feel your pain because we all know this person who apologizes over and over, but things don't change. And so what you really have to wonder there is, well, how sincere are they? Because they're not taking steps to head this off. I remember my dear husband, he allows me to share about him some. In fact, he calls himself Exhibit A. He's a very hard worker. And so there were times when we were going to meet other people that he would be running late. And I found I got especially frustrated if we were going to be making other people late. And so on one of those days, he showed up and he said he was really sorry. And what I ended up saying, which some of your listeners can probably relate to, is I don't want you to be sorry. I want you to be here when you say you will be here. And we were able to work that through. And part of what he ended up doing, I mean, poor guy, he's married to an apology expert. But what I was able to say is I need for you to set more reminders. And are you willing to do that? And he was. And that, for me, showed that he really did want to change the plan and do things differently. And in my own life, I'm not so good about the details sometimes, or I don't read the instructions like I should. And so I've made the same kind of promise to him that I will really try to remember to switch things up, to take the time to do the details or to read the instructions so that I won't keep causing these offenses between us, because we know that those things create barriers and that can really let the water out of your love tank. And so, Neil, I'm so glad, as you said, that you're doing this program as a lead up to Valentine's Day, because I want all of your listeners to have their love tanks staying full. And Gary Chapman and I say, look, these are the two essentials for healthy relationships. You have to be able to handle your mistakes and the offenses they create, and you have to be able to fill those love tanks with your love languages.
Good words today from Jennifer Thompson, talking about apology, and sorry isn't enough. So Frank asked the question, how do you request an apology from someone else, someone that's offended you, and maybe they're unaware of that?
Yeah, that's a touchy one, especially if, like me, you're sort of a conflict avoidant type. It may be hard to go to a person and say, you know, this really bothered me. And I think also it's good to be cautious about doing that, because what are the odds maybe you've upset them as well? And so I think if you do bring it up, it's important to do it in a humble way and to be willing to open up the door for the conversation to go in both directions. Now, one phrase I like for going back to an old thing that you're still upset about or you think someone else is upset about, I usually say, I want to circle back to something. And that lets them know where you're headed, and it also makes it where you can't chicken out. So now you've brought up the topic, and you can say, I want to circle back. There's something that's been happening that hasn't really been sitting right with me, and it's something that you said or that you did, and I really didn't understand why you did that. And so I wanted to try to talk about that or understand it. And also, if you have some things like that with me, I'm open to hearing what I can be doing better in our relationship.
So my friend Steve sends me a note. He says, so the I'm sorry for whatever I may do wrong today that I say to my wife right away in the morning isn't necessarily a good thing. So.
He's probably a smart guy, right?
Yes.
He's showing his openness to apologize.
Sure. It's pre-apology. It's like kind of a, you know, down payment. You're just getting it out of the way right away.
Right. It's like the TSA pre-check at
the
airport. You're pre-certified. Yeah, I like that. And really, I like that it shows a desire for the relationship to stay on the right track. And really, that's what we need. We don't require people to be perfect. But if they mess up, we love for them to say, you know what, I want to put things back on the right track with you. And I want to say or do the things that are really going to show you how sincere I am in my apology.
Yeah. We've got a couple minutes left. Is there an apology to self needed? What would be a situation that's a good thing to pursue?
Right. I think that ourselves, sometimes we're the last people we'll forgive. We beat ourselves up. The language we use against ourselves sometimes, we should never use our names as a synonym for stupid, but we do that all the time. And it's worst if we do it out loud. I don't like for kids to hear us putting ourselves down. But even in your own head, I would like to challenge people to make sure that you're not beating yourself up for the little things you do or for big mistakes you made in the past. And here, as Christians, we've got to point back to Jesus, because he is the one who can forgive us for anything that we've done wrong and that we want to repent of. And so I would just encourage people, again, if you have things you can't forgive yourself for, to lay those at the feet of Jesus. And you can even go through, we have a script that we shared in the five languages of apology, where you can apologize and experience the forgiveness as you do that.
Maybe just a quick review of those important statements that we ought to be included in an apology.
Yes, so here are all five. I was wrong. You'd ask, how can I make it right, and take steps to make those amends. You would say, I want to change, and here's how I'm going to do that. And finally, can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
Good words. Well, if we can apply those, that would make a difference in our lives, our relationships, in our society. So thanks to Jennifer Thomas for some good insight today. The book called When Sorry Isn't Enough, Making Things Right with Those You Love. She's co-authored it with Dr. Gary Chapman, and it's from Moody Northfield Press. Dr. Thomas is an author, speaker, and psychologist, and joining us today from North Carolina, and wish you a happy Valentine's Day and good apologies in the days to come.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Neil, and thank you for helping your listeners to have this kind of practical advice, and I hope that everyone has picked up something that they can go home and try out today.
Recommend it, and if you missed part of today's program, you can always catch it online. We put the podcast up after the show. It's at myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page there, and you'll find a link to Jennifer's website as well. By the way, if you are in the Twin Cities area over the weekend, we added an FM translator, Ted, 90.7 FM.
Nice and clear on the FM dial.
Yeah, so, give us a listen wherever you are and let us know how the signal's coming in. We're just kind of anxious to see how it continues to grow and develop. But Faith Radio available at 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith today. And you can check us out online anytime, myfaithradio.com.